Hi, John.
Hey there, Alex.
You know what I hate?
What's that there?
Well, I was going to say Jack Nicholson's accent until you started talking like that.
Is this not Boston enough for you?
Ugh. Yeah, we watched The Departed.
The Departed.
Oh, I think I smell a rat. Oh, I think I smell a rat.
I don't remember why we chose this movie, but was it because we watched Venom and you went, oh, what's another tremendously awful accent?
Well, it was on our list, the Grandmaster list, but we were certainly in that Boston-y realm, and as far as movies for assholes go.
Yeah,
the part is up there.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we went from one movie for assholes to another movie for assholes, and with what accent was he going for? Because it sounded like he was doing Brooklyn.
Are we still on Venom?
No, we're on Jack Nicholson in The Departed.
Jack Nicholson was doing the "I'm Jack Nicholson, just give me money." People want to see me.
But he did an accent.
He kind of did like something approaching a like Massachusetts-y kind of accent, and then
that didn't sound Massachusetts to me.
Yeah, it doesn't.
All.
Yeah, it's fine.
But why? But that's the. I mean, it's just because it's such a major feature in the film. It's kind of like the second lead. It's like New York in a Woody.
Yeah.
His accent is, it's mind-blowingly bad. But here's the problem. It's not the problem, but my issue with it is, why not just do your Jack Nicholson thing? Like,
yeah.
that's my, like, I don't care that he did a bad accent, but
yeah.
Like, why commit to, like, you're Jack Nicholson, you don't need to learn an accent. You're Jack fucking Nicholson. Just be Jack
right.
Nicholson.
But I think you're Jack Nicholson and you're like, I'm an actor. I'm going to do this accent.
Oh, yeah,
and then
yes.
I don't want to hear about your opinion on it.
Yeah.
You know?
I can do a good Boston accent. I can't do it on the show, however, because the only way I can get into it is to say the F word. Because I grew up near Massachusetts, and literally that's every third word of
I can
vocabulary.
Only just do it if I'm doing a whole bunch of racial slurs.
Yeah.
Then I can get right into it.
Because that's the most Boston thing about it is Jack Nicholson used the N word within, I'm going to say, the first paragraph of dialogue.
Well, see, in my recollection of this film was that was extremely out of place in that, like, you get this, like, history of Boston. Jack Nicholson starts out going like, I don't want to be the product of my environment. I want my environment to be the product of me. And then launches in this whole history. And then, then drops an N-bomb. And as far as I remember, it was like, then that has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. But the rest of the movie is pretty racist. In terms of the characters and their opinions about things.
Yeah. The movie isn't technically racist. It's certainly not... It doesn't paint the Irish in a positive light.
No. Well, here's
or the Chinese.
Here's something that I thought about this time around. Almost the same way that rewatching The Sopranos recently is that it's a lot funnier than I remember. And, like, it's more pointed at the people in the show.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of hanging out with these people and you kind of like them. But they're also, like, they're dumb. And the show goes out of its way to let you know that they're dumb.
Yeah.
Is I feel like, much in the same way that you're like, oh, the New York is the fifth character in this Woody Allen movie or whatever, I feel like Martin Scorsese went, I fucking hate Boston, and I'm going to make a movie about how much Boston sucks. And
I mean, it's not a bad thought.
You can view it that way. And some of it, I don't know how much that actually comes from the scriptwriter, William Monahan, I believe is his name, who's actually from Boston. But I also think the shit you can make fun of about Boston and the shit they're proud of in Boston is this, like, the same thing in a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
That it's – you could go either way.
It's got that Philly thing where it's like this is a city of awful and you have to be proud of it. It's kind of like New York in the 70s where you're like, hey, I survived. You know,
right.
Like, I've got this, like, pride to it where, yeah, Boston – but – okay. So anyway, yeah, Boston is – here's what's weird about Boston is if you go as a tourist, it's a very nice city. Like, the downtown area is, like, really clean and nice. And, like, it's only, like, if you didn't know it was this festering racist cesspool, you wouldn't pick – I mean, let me walk back a few steps. If you show up as a lily white guy like I did, it is just delightful.
Dancing
through the tulips. You would never pick up on it unless you listen to people talk at tables next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then – this movie is very accurate in the usage of every pejorative that they use.
Yeah. And I mean, like, there's so much stuff, particularly with the Matt Damon character, even at the beginning, I don't think is there to set up like, look at what a bad guy he is. What he's playing. Because at the beginning, there's so many like cross-cutting montages in this movie.
Yeah.
And I would like to give, I suppose, a special, I don't know, a shout-out, disclaimer, whatever, that I'm a huge fan of Thelma Schoonmaker, Martin Scorsese's editor, that she is amazing and has done so much for his movies. And she, I think, does amazing work here.
Oh, I disagree a lot. Not on the first part of your statement, but this movie I thought had some sloppy fucking edits.
Oh, I think it's great in that regard.
Oh, I think the timing of it, like the narrative, the visual storytelling, which I hate that phrase, but mm-hmm. I'll use it. The timing was really off in the edits, where you're trying to draw a simultaneous scene in a movie that they will do quick cuts.
Uh-huh.
We'll then do long scenes and then cut to the other scene, but now you're back in time by about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, that doesn't work in a movie where you can quick cut. So having the quick cuts and the time jumps threw me off a lot. I just felt tonally it threw me off.
See, it worked for me because I feel like Scorsese is often very loose in his movies with that kind of stuff.
And I don't like Scorsese movies that much.
Well, that might be part of it as well. Because like at the beginning, you're hearing these dueling montages of Matt Damon's character and Leonardo DiCaprio going through the police academy, whatever. You've learned, I guess we should back up and say that it really opens with Jack Nicholson, who is an anchor on this movie. And I don't mean that he holds it all together. I mean, he weighs it down. I think that this movie is like they let him just get away with a lot because he's Jack Nicholson. Like apparently, yeah. like this movie's budget, so much of it went to the actors and
well-deserved other than Nicholson.
Yeah. Nicholson's a great actor, but I just think he just was just like, whatever, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do.
Let's just probe that statement a little bit. It's one of those things that I kind of, is Nicholson a great actor?
I would argue, yeah.
But like, because that sounded, what's he been great in? Because in my head, I have him in the great actor category, but after watching this, I went, is he? And then
he had a great run, like in the 70s, Five Easy Pieces.
Five Easy Pieces is good.
He's great in The Shining. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
But The Shining, I think literally anybody could have done that. Mm. Not literally, that's a huge overstatement, but it's not, it's a very make silly faces at the camera movie. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, yeah.
Yeah. Witches of Eastwick was like really him being very Jack. Like a sort of a prototypical thing.
I
think he's great in About Schmidt. When he does his like reverse Jack, where he's like, you're expecting me to be this, but I'm actually going to go the other way. I think he's very good in that too. I like About Schmidt,
but I'm not enamored with it. And that maybe it's not his fault. I guess since the 70s, I'm not so.
But it's one of those things. It's like, there's so many actors that are like, well, I'm known for doing this. People just want to see me do this. Yeah. I'm just going to do this. You know, to a much lesser extent, but the first thing that comes to my mind is like the Will Ferrells and the Michael Cera's or whatever, where it's like, you just want to see me do this character. You don't care.
Yeah, I didn't mean to derail. It's just one of those things that like it made me, because that's how bad this was. It made me questions like, because he literally, previous to watching this film, I had in my head, Jack Nicholson, one of our greatest actors.
Yeah.
After watching this, like, I'm starting to question whether he was ever.
Have you not seen Wolf?
I have. And weirdly enough, I will defend Wolf. I kind of like that movie.
It's not
like great, but I mean it's a totally fine action-y wolf movie.
That guy
from Stargate's great in it.
Which one?
I don't know. The other wolf he fights, isn't that the guy from Stargate?
I'm starting to think about that Benicio del Toro werewolf movie. So
oh no!
James Spader?
Yeah, that's yeah, the guy I'm
yeah,
of.
That's right. He does.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're introduced really like through this very Scorsese Rolling Stones in the background.
Yeah, the same song he uses in every movie.
Yeah, the Shadow or...
whatever, that Rolling Stone song starts with the ooh. Yeah.
And him just being horribly disgusting and like being a mob boss and shaking down...
Well, so he's shaking down a guy at a lunch counter.
Yeah.
And then we're introduced to young Matt Damon.
Young Matt Damon.
Now, I guess I'm just being fucking dense, but he fucks little girls, right?
Well, it certainly gives you that implication that he's just like... It's either that he just fucks little girls or that, like, he's flexing, like, I can get away with saying this awful, heinous shit, because what are you going to do?
Because a little out of order, because this is something I wanted to bring up, but I don't know if it's going to fit later in the show. So there's this reference. He talks to that girl about, did you get your first period yet?
Yeah.
She's grossed out. Then he leans and whispers in her ear. She seems like mollified in some way.
Yeah.
Later in the movie, he goes, I got to go visit with some angels. Then he follows a line of little girls dressed as angels.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the film, it's referenced that you've been fucking all this great cunt or whatever the hell they say, and you've never had a son.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's a through line that he's not actually having sex with women. Like, he's either impotent or only fucks prepubescent girls.
Well, there's a through line of that repeated both with him and with Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. So, but
I never read it as like, well, he's actually a pederast. I just took it as this sort of... what do I want to say here? Like, for all the bullshit masculinity that's in there, that this sort of undercutting of like, you're like,
yeah.
This to sort of weaken the character a little bit. Like, oh yeah, you're a big tough guy, but you can't fucking get it up.
I think that for Damon, but like, for, because they have those few lines, and also the fact that Jack Nicholson, whatever his character name is, doesn't matter.
Frank Costello.
Yeah, but it was Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
He has full access to a strap-on dildo. Like, why would you have that?
Well, I don't know. He has a lot of things. He owns a porn theater.
I forgot. I already answered that. Because doesn't he, like, he makes his wife fuck that lady and he watches.
I guess. Both of those scenes, by the way, both the him having the dildo in the porn theater and the scene of him going to the opera and then the weird sex scene after that, Jack Nicholson's ideas.
Yeah, that sex scene was... I mean, one, there wasn't a sex scene, which, again, weird choice in this film where there's no sex. Where I don't, I'm not here to watch a sex scene. Like, I actually find them kind of somewhat awkward, but, like, there's this weird, like, I mean, I guess they're trying to set up the kind of impotence angle, because they have that awkward sex scene with Matt Damon. There's the awkward, almost sex scene with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right, like, but that's at least, like, within the confines of the story. This is this weird, like, it's when you find out that his character, Frank Costello in this movie is basically, even though this movie, we talked about last episode, this movie...
Wait, which one's Frank Costello?
Jack Nicholson.
That's Jack Nicholson.
This movie is a remake of a Chinese film that here is released as Infernal Affairs. And this movie is at least an hour longer than that one, and they added a bunch of stuff to it. And one of the things they try to sort of like flesh out, make it more Americanized, is that Jack Nicholson's character is sort of being Whitey Bulger, the famous...
The Boston gangster
Who I think died this past year.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that there was a documentary on Netflix. I think it was like through CNN about like the trials of Whitey Bulger. And the only thing that I really liked about it was this very Bostonian thing where in the trial, one of his henchmen was on the stand and like, it was like, you know, who's the guy that told you to kill that guy? And he points out Whitey Bulger and Whitey Bulger goes, "You suck." like he's heckling the fucking Red Sox. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm like, that rules. Yeah. That's just so, Boston's so dumb.
Yeah.
But anyway, and one of the things Whitey Bulger did was he was aligned with the FBI. He was an FBI informant. And there's some controversy about whether or not he was actually like controlling the FBI and having them not pay attention to the shit that he was doing, whatever. Yeah. But when you find that out in the movie, there's this awkward scene where it's Jack Nicholson at the opera with like his girlfriend, I guess, who I defy anyone to tell me that character's name because I don't think it's ever mentioned.
I don't think so either.
Then like it pans over and he's also with this black lady and then it cuts to them. He's like throwing cocaine on one of them and is like, go get it.
No, he says like, he's like, rub up on it until you're numb or something
Just like, go until you're numb. And then it's just, he's just staring and it's weird. And it's like, I already don't like this character. You've already, like, in terms of, you've already made this character like a bad guy. This isn't a twist. It felt very unnecessary. I didn't feel like it added much to it. It was neat looking, but it just...
Well, I mean, that seemed to be, I guess it's Jack Nicholson having the idea, you said, but like,
right.
That's why I thought that furthered the pederast narrative where he's not in the sex scene. He's just watching it where like he's trying to, this is artifice of him being a big man that can have like, oh, look, I've got mountains
but
of
he,
coke and
I mean,
two girls.
But he also says later, he's like, you know, I didn't need the money. And in fact, like, I don't care about the pussy anymore. I just like, it's just a power thing for him.
Well, you know, he says that, but also, you know, it's one of those, like, you know, unreliable narrator things. He says, like, I like it. But then, like, every bit of evidence to the contrary, because he never impregnated any of them.
Uh-huh.
We've never watched him interact with any of them in a physical way. It cuts before he gets a blowjob from that lady, where I'm sure he got blown. But, like, the fact is, there's a lot of, like, in the air stuff that's why I thought they were like kind of leaning on that, like, because that's also that power thing of like, you know, the whole pederasty thing is not about sex, it's about power over you know, just your brain's all fucked up, blah blah blah. But I thought that's I guess I want this movie to be better because, frankly, oh, by the way, we should cover this because we talked about Oscars before the show. How the fuck did this win best film?
Yeah, because the Oscars are dumb.
Oh my God.
Like, I mean, anyone that saw what won best picture this year, like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's
but this,
not.
That's, I don't even know what this was up against, but like, I guarantee there was two better movies that year. Like, this is not
well,
a best picture.
Well, it's one of those things where so often, and the example that I always use, and it's very dated now, is how Russell Crowe won for Gladiator when the previous year he should have won for The Insider. Where it's
yeah,
like,
it's makeup where, Oscars,
yeah, you yeah, get yeah. you get this sort of like body of work thing. And so it was them just going like, let's just give Scorsese a damn Oscar. And this is, I guess, a return to form because it's about gangsters again. So this is good enough.
Yeah.
But again, like, I don't know what it was up against and whatever. And it's not.
I guarantee.
It's not.
Better movies were.
Yeah, it's not. This is not a bad movie. This is a perfectly fine, entertaining movie. It's just I don't think it's that great.
Yeah,
I don't think it's up there. You know,
I think it's a really solid film. Like, as much as I'm not shitting at it. I'm shitting on Jack Nicholson's accent. I think every other actor in this knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
I really like the acting. This, some of the editing's weird. The only other big problem I have with it is the sound editing. I hate that trick that he does, and it's purposeful, where they cut the song out hard.
Oh, I love it because they do that with sound in the movie too.
Oh, it's jarring in the wrong way to me. It's more, I liked it when they did it with the sound. I hated it when they did it with the soundtrack, especially the one part where I think it was the Dropkick Murphys song where they drop it hard to have a conversation and then they pick the song up hard with like no fade in or out. It just, it felt, not that it, I obviously it was purposeful,
right?
But it feels student film like. It feels sloppy.
My only problem with it is that it was that Dropkick Murphys song. Like, I fucking hate that song.
I tend to agree with you. But this is one of those hindsight things.
Mm-hmm.
I think the year this movie came out, I do not that I like that song the year the movie came out, but I think we were probably a lot less tired of it.
Yes, certainly.
So
I do think I do kind of have this imaginary thing where, like I said, this sort of fuck you Boston, the movie, where it's a little bit like, yeah, you idiots like this song, right? Here it is again for the 15th time.
Yeah, I like this read that this is just an anti-Boston movie.
Yeah, where it's like, or at least a hint of satire at Boston.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, you guys are fine, but come on, you're no New York. I'm Martin Scorsese, damn it. And he says that a lot in interviews.
Yeah, probably. And he goes, you know, look at my eyebrows, they're fantastic.
He does.
Only thing I know about Martin Scorsese is his eyebrows. And then he sets a lot of things in New York. And he likes that one Rolling Stones song.
Yep, that's all you need to know.
I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't think I like Martin Scorsese.
That's too bad. He's
what else has he done?
Movies. Taxi Driver, Goodfellas, Casino.
Oh, Goodfellas I like.
Yeah.
Oh, Casino I like. Okay, no, I forgot those were him. I thought those were Coppola.
It's a good thing you're hosting a movie show.
Well, whatever. Look, I've watched all like 20 whatever Marvel movies. Look, we have different strengths.
Yeah.
No, I get the problem is I get Scorsese and Coppola confused. I thought Coppola did Goodfellas.
Nope, that's Scorsese.
I mean, you can see why, because it could be a Coppola movie, like, very easily.
I would argue against that simply because, like, I think Scorsese is a lot looser with his filmmaking than Coppola is.
Yeah.
Coppola's more of a sort of traditional movie making, where Scorsese is a little bit more of that French New Wave.
Yeah.
Hotcha. You know, it's a technical term.
Here's some other acting things. It took me, I'm going to say about halfway through this very long movie to realize that wasn't Donnie Wahlberg, that was Mark Wahlberg.
Mm.
Which, good for Mark, because him being hidden in a role is not something I'm accustomed to.
Well,
he got a
Best Supporting Actor for this. And
not undeserved. He's pretty good at it.
I don't think he knew he was in a movie.
Oh, yeah. Fine.
Yeah. I think that was just...
If they have best casting,
yeah.
that person should get an award, because he seemed like, yep, that seems exactly like the character.
Yeah, much in the same way that later, when Sullivan, when he's being tailed by Leonardo DiCaprio, accidentally stabs an Asian guy. I went like, oh, that's probably a nod to Mark Wahlberg's vicious attack of a Vietnamese man when he was in
No,
Boston.
What that was a nod to his attacking a Central Asian and stopping the attacks of 9/11.
Oh, that was right, yes.
Remember when he said he would have stopped 9/11?
Like, I would have done it. Let me on that plane.
Yeah, it's a terrorist. The terrorists are attacking us, ma'am.
Yeah. But no, he was good. But again, like, everyone in this movie, reading the sort of the anti-Boston thing, is a fucking asshole. Like, and everybody. And I don't mean that in this, like... Even the Sopranos or something like that, like, there was something to let you got to know him a little bit. Like, Mark Wahlberg's character is just an unrepentant asshole. All he does is yell at people. There's nothing redeeming other than, you know, he's on the side of good. He's just a dick. I think
there's something. What's his name? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Martin Sheen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was just doubting if his name was Martin because, again, his son is Charlie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's not an ass. He's fine.
Yeah, but yeah. Like.
DiCaprio seems like is trying to be like he's doing his best to like keep his shit.
He's also kind of an asshole. And like obviously Matt Damon's character, like they as a character building, like kind of endearing moment, they have him like throw down all kinds of homophobia and you know, call people homos all the time. I was like, look at this guy. But it's also he's just a piece of shit. And I don't think and it's not like that's not a knock at the movie. I'm saying like. Totally, they're just going. Everyone in Boston is a fucking asshole.
Yeah, the psychologist lady was kind of nice.
Oh my god! So I was unsurprisingly doing some research for this movie. I guess Vera
Farmiga,
yes. As I believe how you say her name, from The Conjuring, like talked to an LAPD psychologist about her character, and the LAPD psychologist went, "That character does every single thing wrong."
Oh, really?
Which is true. She is a bad psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so as much as I love the scene with her and Matt Damon having their meet cute in the elevator, Matt Damon is infinitely charming in that scene. Like,
he
it
is
was,
really charming.
I had a huge smile on my face. Yeah. I was rooting for these
kids.
I
actually have a note for that, which annoys the shit out of me because I hate liking Matt Damon.
But, like, when she then, as you see her at her job with Leonardo DiCaprio, he's clearly doing drug-seeking behavior. She yells at him for doing drug-seeking behavior and then runs after him and gives him drugs.
Yes.
And then later sleeps with him. And like raw dogs it, apparently.
I don't know if you know this, but this is actually a sequel to Catch Me If You Can. This is him just seeing if he can get pills off this lady. She's terrible at her job, I guess just to reiterate point. But she, as a human, it seems to actually show empathy, which is like so lacking in this film that I was like thirsty for. That it's
sure.
Like, oh, a human that like... seems to actually enjoy hugs and like could like theoretically like be like not a fucking monster.
Right. Yeah. You know? For as much as I still kind of didn't like her character, because it's also like the real narrative convenience of these two men love it, like falling in love with the same woman, so to speak, like was a little.
I didn't mind that. It is narratively convenient, but they did set these characters up as they're both blonde, the same height,
they're absolutely parallel,
the same like.
Yeah.
So I like. You're right.
So I don't know if we need to say this because I'm assuming everyone has seen this movie, or whatever. But so Matt Damon's character grew up with Frank Costello. He's Sullivan. Grew up with Frank Costello being a criminal. Frank Costello put him in the cops to be his mole in the cops. Leonardo DiCaprio was a cop. They put him undercover to be in Frank Costello's gang. So there's this crisscross.
Yeah, and it makes total sense, and that's why I can kind of forgive the... Because it is. It's so stupid that you'd bone both these dudes, and they would be the main... But, yeah, just because, I mean, literally, same height. I mean, they kind of look like each other, like, at least in this movie. Like, there's a lot... Like, they go out of their way to kind of make it possible, so as much as...
Let me throw this out, like, and this is off the dome.
Yes.
Piece of genius. You could say, two sides, same coin. I just invented that.
Huh? You're saying like you were in like some kind of industrial accident, and your favorite coin that used to have a head on both sides got scarred. At the same time, your face got halfway scarred, and then like a psycho killer that's a clown but is dressed as a nurse comes into your hospital room and.
They look alike.
Oh,
and that they.
Sorry,
they're, you know, they both have a regular boss and a secret boss.
So you're saying like. In one movie, it's Billy Dee Williams, and then later, it's not, and they turn that character into Max Schreck.
The classic metaphor that starts with, you're in one movie, you're Billy Dee Williams.
Yes. I mean, it does narrow it down.
Billy Dee Williams is listed going, yes, go on.
I kind of, did they, oh yeah, at the end of the movie, they interact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, they interact towards the end of the movie.
No, I was trying to remember for the beginning of it, because they also show, like, they go out of their way to... show them rising through the ranks together, but it's like, shouldn't they have like known each other then?
No, because I mean they were in sort of different, although I guess they were both stateies, as they say.
Yeah,
the Massachusetts police, they were somehow in different lines or went to different academies or something.
Yeah, that other academy is wicked retarded.
That's true. Yeah. That's actually the name of it.
Yes. Oh, they said I don't know if they said retarded a lot. They said they said queer a lot.
Yes, they did.
And what was the other? Oh, yeah, I forget. I had this running kind of metronome in my head of just like, ugh, this. All of yeah, you are ugly. Like, this is so, like, and I'm not like that's a fucking soy boy snowflake, yeah, but, like, there's a certain amount of, like, ugh, this movie's,
well,
like,
but I mean, it is,
I mean, it's the point.
Yeah,
but
it's sort of like, it is, it's like they made this movie in the answer to that Gillette ad. And it's like, I'll show you toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Here's the city of Boston.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, also, I haven't lived in the East Coast for, like, 15 years at this point, so I think I'm not as, like, acclimated to it anymore, you know? It's that, like, you take a little drop of poison every day. Now you're doing it. It's like, I haven't. So, like, even quoting the film, it's like, ugh, yeah. I don't like this. The other acting point is one of my favorite that guy actors. I think it's Kevin Corrigan. Is that the guy that's in, fuck, his cousin?
Yes, his dirtball cousin.
I love that actor in
everything.
He's
so great, yeah. Well, again, and that's the thing. Again, the movie goes out of its way to show you that all Bostonians are terrible.
Yes.
Leonardo DiCaprio's in is with his crappy cousin. And this was a moment, there was a little eye-rolly, a little ham-handed to me, where they want Leonardo DiCaprio involved in this to be undercover because he has relatives that were shitty and like his father's side of the family, his father and his father's side of the family were all like deadbeats and like working for Frank at some point.
No, his father was the one that wasn't.
He worked at the airport, but his uncle Jackie was.
Yeah, yeah.
But his mom was like goody two shoes and she's dying in the hospital. And you see his uncle, I guess, who might as well be the fucking Monopoly man.
Yeah.
It's a little like him. He's like, oh, are you still poor?
Yes, would you like me to pay for the funeral?
This is one tiny knock I'd have at the movie where Leonardo DiCaprio, although his performance is very like upfront. Like he's having the constant panic attack of always worried about being discovered. And I understand that having your life on the line is a huge thing. However, narratively, he didn't have anything to lose. He had nothing in his life. Like he gave up his identity, yeah, but he had already like gave it all up anyway. So although, I mean, that's enough to be like, I'd rather not get murdered, thank you. But they by interjecting the relationship with Madeline, the psychologist later, they try to do that a little bit, but he just didn't, he doesn't have a whole lot going for him other than just being alive, which is,
yeah, that's
okay, from what I'm told.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not a big, you know, fan of the whole trying to stay alive thing.
No,
you know,
I don't recommend it.
Just suicidal ideation, just coming out the wazoo. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. They do actually kind of set it up that way, that there's nothing going. It's also, I mean, I guess it's another one of those, the same person, the same as Matt Damon, where it's like he's just this empty.
Well, that was I thought was an interesting sleight of hand, because he is just this. His whole thing is a lie, and you are told, and you also get the sense that he's a social climber. He wants to get higher up in the cops who can help out Frank, but he also just likes that attention. But I feel like by having him be this little bit more of a cipher at the beginning and this kind of empty shell, which I really like the scene where, and I didn't pick it up till this time watching it, where he takes Madeline's psychologist out for a date for the first time. They go to a French restaurant, and he's angry that they don't have duck à l'orange.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the only fancy French food a guy like him would know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where then you have, like, you have earlier the counterpoint of Mark Wahlberg yelling at Leonardo DiCaprio for pretending to be poor. You know, because he would hang out with rich people, but on the weekends when he was with his dad,
yeah,
he would put on a different accent. So, again, that parallel. But I also just like that he's like, no, it's what rich people in the cartoons eat. How come I?
Yeah,
can't
no,
have
I did.
That?
I did enjoy that little moment.
But like by the end, Matt Damon has built a life for himself. So when Frank Costello is making all these demands on him, you kind of start caring about him a little bit because he now has something to lose. He's like a piece of shit. You're like, yeah, I don't like this guy, but you also understand that he's now starting to kind of feel the pinch of, I built a life for myself.
Well,
outside of this.
He thinks he's built a life for himself.
Yeah,
like he's got a girlfriend who's pregnant with some other guy's child.
Well, eventually. I mean,
it's one of those, like,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, but I'm just talking about like when she's moving in and they're,
oh yeah, yeah.
When she's moving in and then Frank calls him to yell at him about like, why aren't you answering your phone?
Yeah.
He's like, oh shit.
Here's a question for you, John, the only other person in the room. So I didn't need to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Guy in the closet. Here's a question for you. what was the deal with him not wanting her to hang the childhood photo up? I missed that.
I don't know. I don't know if that was supposed to be a, when they're moving in, she had a photo with her and he's like, yeah, I don't have pictures of where I'm from or something. I don't know if that was a just, I don't want to get too close thing.
But they were moving. But, she was yeah, moving
but
in.
Like, but still just emotionally closed off.
Yeah, that felt weird.
It was a weird beat. It felt like there maybe should have been something else around that, because then it's later when she's at the apartment, Leonardo DiCaprio like finds her at her apartment. And that's when they really connect and end up banging or whatever. And she has the picture up there because she has three more weeks in that apartment. And that scene has one of the worst lines in the entire movie.
What's that?
Where she's like, your vulnerability is freaking me out.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Just that. I feel it's nothing against the actress. Like she did fine. That character just kind of sucked. It kind of felt like, I don't really know how to write women. And here you go. So here's the psychologist that sucks at her job. But I get your point about empathy, and I think that is there, but it's also just, it doesn't seem like someone that's like, unless she was, this is my first year being a cop psychologist, she would have gone home with every single cop.
I'm not in any way disagreeing with you. Mm-hmm. The only reason I have such fondness for her is that I'm so desperate to like anybody.
No, I
that's
agree.
Where like Martin Sheen is. Like Martin Sheen is not likable in this. It's just he's not a pilot. I actually like Alec Baldwin in this because he's the only one that seems to be good at his job. He didn't do anything directly reprehensible.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's the guy. He's
maybe
like,
he said some pretty horrible stuff. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It all blurs into one giant like anti.
But I think Alec Baldwin is the Bostonian that everyone thinks they are in terms of like where he's like a shithead or whatever, but he's also like very gregarious and friendly. You know, when he's saying shit like I'm gonna go smoke. You probably don't smoke. You're probably one of those fitness freaks. Huh? Yeah, go fuck yourself. And that's all. That is a single thought and is all very friendly. You know.
Yeah.
But in this movie, no one else has that. Everyone else is just like, no, I legitimately mean go fuck yourself.
I mean, that's the thing with him is I'm trying to think, like, because he doesn't do anything reprehensible.
No, he gets mad at the one, the cop tech that didn't put the cameras up in the right place.
But he was right to.
No, because I'm having a similar job.
Yeah.
I'm in a situation where the guy's like, you gave me an hour. They gave me 2 hours. What the fuck do you want from me?
I agree with you with the blind spot. Yeah, there's no way to know a blind spot, but you don't put one on the back door.
Yeah.
Dude, no. If you did that, you suck at your job, John. You deserve to be fired. Yeah. No, not covering the back
but
door.
But I did like that line where even though it was Mark Wahlberg where he's like, I'm the guy that's good at my job. I guess you're the other guy.
That was a good line. Yeah. But also now that I think about it, Alec Baldwin does call everybody like retarded and gay.
Yeah, but again, that's Boston.
Oh, the other... So here's another soundtrack. I had a lot of problems with the soundtrack. I wish that... And I understand that he's an old man, but Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd, stop using that instead of, like, allowing emotions to happen. Like, God, that's annoying.
Well, it also just sounded... And maybe it's just that it wasn't the version that I knew, so it sounded...
I think it was a cover or, like, a live version or something. It wasn't the normal one, yeah.
But it's also... It also was done in this way where... Like you're saying, like, it felt like a substitute for emotions rather than, like, an ironic counterpoint to them or something underlining them. It was more just like, I just need to feel something... Because I'm comfortable, you know, or whatever. But it was for a guy that's really good at music cues and needle drops and whatever. That one just really struck wrong with me.
Yeah, I mean that was the thing that one struck me. The Dropkick Murphys, which I tried to forgive because of the age of the film.
Well, that's perfect for the genre of or like the type of person it's supposed to be. Involved in this is that kind of like asshole like Irish. I've decided I'm still Irish. But I just don't like that song. That's it's like seeing a movie about Southern California and Sublime playing. It's like it fits, but ugh.
I just wish there was, and not that I wish there was, but and by wish there was, I mean wish there were because that's how grammar works. But there's not that much Irish in this, and I think because they hired a bunch of people that aren't particularly Irish, and they're just kind of Boston-y. But
that's the same,
sort of.
If you're from Boston, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I would rather just a little bit more Ireland there to justify any of that stuff because it's just more Boston-y. There's one guy with like an actual Irish accent and the other guy he refers to as IRA. And
yeah, but I mean, it's like the equivalent of not everyone in, you know, the gangster movies, whatever, is going, hey, what's the matter over you? Hey, you know,
they mostly are.
No, but they're doing the New York, hey, not the Italian. Ooh.
Yeah, but they're all from New York and they're Italians.
Right, but these are all from Boston and they're from their Irish backgrounds.
Yeah, I guess that feels more like, it feels like a Boston accent, not an Irish accent.
Yeah,
and it just I just
that's how that's how they get you. That's
yeah, I just don't want that.
They drop their anchor babies.
Yeah,
and we need to build a wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Ireland.
Build a wall. Yeah. That's what should fucking build a wall around the ocean between us.
Yes.
That's the way to do it.
And it's really the ocean is the problem.
And you know what? We're going to make Poseidon pay for it.
Yeah.
We're going to make Jason Momoa pay for it. Oh, here's a fun thing about the level of racism in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
No tiki, no laundry, he says to the Chinese people.
I mean,
that's old for even him. Like that's no, like 1920s
no,
racist.
No, absolutely it's not. That is shit like my dad has said.
Really?
Like that's not to Chinese people,
no,
but like that's some serious boomer shit. Like that.
Oh, I thought that was like 1920s.
No ticky, no shirty. Yeah.
I
probably know it the same way that they know it, like through Warner Brothers cartoons and shit. No one in my real life went, you know, like was. Like, I didn't know that reference is a thing that's, like, said in real life, but just only as a reference to, like, movies and cartoons.
That's so weird, though.
Yeah,
like,
no, it is. But it's, yeah, it's something that he's like, that's a thing you people say.
That's right? Odd. That's like, what do you call them, Celestials?
Which is also, again, going through, because that whole meaning was, that, so he's trying to sell microprocessors to the Chinese.
Yeah.
That's what gets them on Frankenstein in the first place. I think, again, it's sort of doubly a fuck you, Boston. To make these idiots say microprocessors a whole bunch, but also to have no one have any idea what they are. To be like, computers? I don't know.
I did like that on a kind of everybody's dumb level. That made me happy. I also liked the Alec Baldwin's going, look, we all don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just admit it, but it means money, so fuck it. You know, that's where we're coming from. Here's another thing. You drink cranberry juice when you have a UTI.
Sure. Who doesn't?
No, but I mean that's what that is. Like that's the only thing urinary related to drinking cranberry juice. But two different people at that bar said, "Oh, what do you get your period?"
Yeah.
But how would two different people both know the wrong way cranberry juice works?
No, one guy was dropping the other guy's because the one guy said it like, "Was your girlfriend got your period?" And then he beat the shit out of him, and the other guy was referencing that.
Oh, see, I didn't think the other guy heard what happened. I thought he just came over after he smashed the glass.
No, I took it as to him like.
Okay,
like,
no, that makes like a lot more sense. I took it as two different people having the like how the what's going on in Boston?
It's the city drink for girls on their period.
It could be. I mean, fuck if I know. I avoided that place. This movie also says the word supper more time than any movie I've ever watched.
Oh, I never really thought about that.
Yeah, like there's a lot because.
Because that was their code word for like when thing was up. It's like I won't be home for supper.
But also when he went to the chief's house. He's like, yeah, my wife made supper. Why don't you get some supper? No, there's supper on the table. Why don't you come over and have supper with me? It's just.
Like, I guess I didn't know. Like that was a perfectly fine Midwest. Like we would say supper all the time.
Oh, do you use that term?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a word I use where I grew up.
Yeah, I mean not now. Not in my, you know, in my mansion, my Monopoly style mansion.
Yeah.
I always say, "Where's my dinner?" And then I bang my knife and fork. No, but like, it was like, "What's for supper? What are you doing?" Yeah,
I think Monopoly style hotel.
I don't live in a hotel. I live there. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, but there's no mansions in Monopoly.
Not the way you play it.
Yeah, well, you should see the way I play it.
Well, I mentioned earlier that I think Jack Nicholson kind of brings this movie down, and I guess like he initially wasn't the first choice for this, but ended up taking it because he wanted to work with Martin Scorsese. But then they sort of inflated the role because it was him. And so there are a lot of scenes, like we mentioned the ones earlier where he just sort of decided, like, wouldn't that be cool if I did that? But you can tell, particularly the scene where he and William Costigan, Leonardo DiCaprio, meet towards the end of the movie where, like, he's just freeballing. Like, I'm sure he had written lines, but Jack Nicholson is just improvising. And it's the scene where he's, like, drawn the picture of the rats rushing the Capitol and then, like, sets fire to it at some point. And then there's the weird moment at the end where Ray Winstone sits down, Mr. French, and is talking to him. And then Jack Nicholson comes back in and is like, "I forgot my cigarette," and then leaves.
No, he smells him first.
Yeah, he makes like a whole huge thing and then leaves. Yeah. And it just like that did not feel natural to the scene or anything.
No.
Or why is that still going on? But they kept it in there, damn it.
Well, I wonder about that because DiCaprio makes reference that Nicholson's cracking up.
Right.
That he's losing his shit. And I wonder if like that's... I wonder if that was written in to kind of cover for the bad improv.
Well, I wonder if that's, I mean, I think he's supposed to be because, yeah, shit's falling on him. Because no one ever finds out who the other person is in terms of the bosses.
Yeah.
Because Quinlan dies. And a little aside, you may have heard this before, but this is kind of an interesting thing. And I didn't know the source for this. But anyone that's going to die in, for the most part, in The Departed, is marked with an X at some point. Like when Leonardo DiCaprio's at the airport, he's got all these windows that have X's on them, like just the way the architecture is. When Quinlan goes to meet DiCaprio at the 344 Wash, there are some X's. I think as he's falling out of the window, there are X's by him.
Yeah.
And like right before Matt Damon gets shot, there's X's. And I guess that's pulled from...
That's Strangers on a Train.
No, it's pulled from Scarface, the 1932 Paul Muni.
Oh, because Strangers on the Train do the same thing. Is they show crisscrossing all the time. So every time you see the two main characters when you're introduced, mm-hmm. they show the railroad crossing, the two X's. They have X shadows across their face.
Yeah, because Matt Damon has that too. Like whenever Matt Damon later in the movie, when he's in his office, he's just in the most fucking noir lighted office ever, which is pretty great.
Now who knows about movies? I just made an in-depth reference to Strangers on a Train.
Yeah, directed by Albert Hitchcock.
It's weird how Yankovic, idiot.
But I do feel like they let Jack just eat up so much scenery that it really is not great. Because I felt like any time that I saw him, particularly this viewing, any time I saw him on the screen, I was kind of like, oh boy, like, okay.
Yeah, there's that thing at the end, too, where we need to get into the confusing ending, what I found confusing. But there's that scene towards the end where he walks out and his hands are all bloody because he's doing some kind of bloody work in the back. And it doesn't fit in the film.
I think he was supposed to be like chopping up that guy.
Yeah.
The guy that like they killed, the guy that got killed in the, so there's a whole moment where, Quinlan, Martin Sheen's character, is meeting up with his undercover guy, Leonardo DiCaprio. Cause DiCaprio's like, I'm losing my shit. I need to get out. Help me out. And Sullivan, Matt Damon, sends in a bunch of guys because he's following Quinlan because he's trying to figure out who the rat is, even though he's the rat. And he's basically just trying to figure out who Leonardo DiCaprio is. And which I noticed this time around, all those guys in the car, with the exception of like the main guy that's talking to Sullivan the whole time, the whatever the detective is, that's Anthony Michael Hall, Elias Costas, and if I'm saying that name right, and I forget who the other, like, those are all like legitimate actors in the cartoon.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just all just like, oh, and featuring these guys.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. They don't, they're just there and then they all get gunned down and that's it.
Well, if ever I sit through this movie again, I'll pay attention to that.
But a bunch of Frank's guys show up and one of the detectives that was sent to trail him is like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to go get these guys. There's a firefight. This one dude, one of Frank's guys, gets shot. And then dies. And I think that's him, like, chopping him up to be buried or something.
No, because they drag that guy out to the marshes. There's a whole scene about
that. I thought
that
was later.
No, but that's that guy, isn't it? Oh, wait, no, maybe that's the other guy. There's a lot of that guy in this.
Yes, yeah. It's full of that guy.
Well, here's the other part about that guy. Yeah, so, all right, so we both don't really... Right, so he's chopping somebody up.
Yeah,
but it's just an awkward scene.
Yeah, the beat of the scene is really, though, that he doesn't trust Leonardo DiCaprio anymore.
But is it? Because
You know what? No, because it couldn't be that guy. He sends Leonardo DiCaprio home. That's when that whole scene happens. He's cutting someone up before Leonardo DiCaprio meets with Martin.
No. DiCaprio's in the bar when Nicholson walks out.
Right.
And he's got blood.
And then he's like, you go home. I'm going to hang out with these new guys.
Those two jerks are standing outside.
All
right, so he's just chopping up some rando dude.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't recall what it is, but yeah, it's just that he's doing something fucked up, and he doesn't want Leonardo DiCaprio involved.
Yeah, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But all right, so there's this whole crisscross thing where basically this is where I get confused. Okay, so cards on the table.
Mm-hmm.
In the police department, Matt Damon is on Jack Nicholson's payroll.
Yes.
As is that other cop we find out at the end.
At the very end, yes.
So when Quinlan, that's Martin Sheen, right?
Yes.
Goes to that building to meet up with DiCaprio.
Yes.
And, okay, what is Wahlberg doing? At what point does Wahlberg stab Nicholson in the back? Is that what happens? I'm totally lost as to the end because I kind of the plot. Like,
Wahlberg, so
when does he realize he has to take Nicholson out?
Well, Wahlberg quits because After Quinlan dies.
Wahlberg. Sorry. Matt Damon. I'm saying Wahlberg. Sorry. Yeah, because that's my other confusion. Let's do Damon first. Because okay. There's three confusion. I don't know what happened at the end of this movie.
Matt Damon figures out that even though it's very some guy that Leonardo DiCaprio is shaking down in his role as undercover cop guy working for Costello spits out that Costello is a protected FBI informant. That's why he never gets pinched.
Yeah.
That is taken as read for the rest of the movie. Like that is eventually, I think eventually they find some corroborating evidence too. I think Matt Damon finds some corroborating evidence, but Leonardo DiCaprio is immediately convinced that that's the case. So writes it down in his journal or something. And then I think it's after Martin Sheen dies that going through his case files or whatever. Because then when Martin Sheen dies, Marky Mark is fuck you, I'm walking. Because Alec Baldwin's going to take over the case. And fuck, I just said his name. Mark Wahlberg is like, no, I should take over the case. He's like, no, you shouldn't. Shut up. He's like, well, fuck you, I'm walking. So he walks and because he's trying to fight Matt Damon too. Matt Damon kind of takes it over and I think finds out that some corroborating evidence that Frank Costello is also working for the FBI. And so then it's like, well, he's going to give me up. Like, what the fuck? Wants to cover his own ass. And so then it's like, no, I kind of got to maybe take care of him.
I think
the shootout that happens is not planned. I think he wants to get some answers. But then when Jack Nicholson pulls a gun on him and starts shooting, he just shoots back.
No, but before that, him allowing that raid to happen.
Yeah.
Like saying, pull the follow cars off. And then so allowing that raid to happen. He's decided that, okay, I'm now against Nicholson. Like he's an FBI guy. I need to.
Quite possibly. I kind of took it as unsure because he had pulled a couple of maneuvers before that where he was like. Seemed like he was making things worse, but actually was machinations to try to pull Frank away from it at the last minute. Or like when he goes to do the fake interview with the guy pretending to be his lawyer, he gives him the heads up, but also does something to kind of exonerate him. And,
but at the end, so he throws my, but this is where my main confusion is. Mark Wahlberg's motivation doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would he quit?
Cause he just, I can't quote chapter and verse right here, but in the moment it made sense because he didn't trust Matt Damon. It's like they were letting Matt Damon kind of take control of things.
But he's on Nicholson's payroll.
Mark Wahlberg isn't.
Yeah, that's revealed at the end. That's why he shoots him at the end.
No, he doesn't. I mean, he shoots him, but that's not because he's on Nicholson's payroll.
Why would he shoot him then?
Because he's a fucking rat.
A rat to who?
To everybody, to the cops,
but he would arrest them then. He's still a cop.
No, he's not, because he quit.
Wait, so he quits, shows up on a random phone call to an abandoned building with a gun.
No, he doesn't show up to an abandoned building. DiCaprio tells Anthony Anderson.
Yeah.
Because after Quinlan's dead, the only other person that knows of Leonardo DiCaprio's existence is Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
So he's like, call him and get him down here. He didn't show up. And then when all that shit goes down, Mark Wahlberg's already had suspicions that Matt Damon is the rat. And so he's just like, no, you're the rat. Fuck you. And he kills him because he's a Boston asshole.
Yeah, that doesn't.
No, it's make... sloppy. It's sloppy as hell.
That doesn't make sense to me.
But
it
tries to do this bow tying tidiness thing, which the better thing would be to, in my opinion, leave Matt Damon alive. Whereas is he free from all this? Or is he now trapped under this guilt? But the movie's not that deep. I mean, there's themes going on through it. But for a guy like Scorsese, he tends to do these much less sort of plot-oriented movies, much more of these character studies. And this one felt much more sort of plot-oriented. I don't know if it was him. I don't know if it was the script. I don't know if it was the studio, whatever. But they just like, no, this has all got to be wrapped up. Everyone's got to be dead.
Yeah, I also don't understand... The DiCaprio getting killed, I mean, it sort of makes sense, but it just seems like narrative convenience again. I just think this might be a shittier the movie.
I'm kind of with you. Like I said, I think the end falls apart. I think I think it's a decent movie, but I think the end is they try to just wrap it all up by everyone shooting each other. And
yeah, it's just,
it doesn't necessarily work that well.
Yeah, you don't need to kill what's the actor's name? Johnson, the dude that went to college with DiCaprio.
Anthony Anderson.
Anthony Anderson.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to get shot.
Yeah.
Because he watched. So he watched the guy that's also in Nicholson's payroll shoot. Whatever he shoot DiCaprio.
Well, yeah, he didn't see that happen. It comes downstairs.
Yeah,
and those,
but he's a cop. Yeah. You could just go. Oh, the guy that's abducting another cop that's beaten to death? Yeah, I shot him in the line of duty. None of that makes sense.
Yeah.
Also doesn't make sense for Matt Damon to kill him. I mean, I guess he's covering his ass, but it's not.
That one I just took as, he's just covering his ass. Because he wants to be done with all this.
But we never see Matt Damon kill anybody the whole movie.
No, he does stab the fuck out of that Asian guy.
Oh, yeah, but panicking stabs one guy.
Yeah,
this
but that's...
This is cold-blooded... pointing a gun and shooting it.
Yeah.
It seems like that goes against, because he's kind of this coward behind the scenes guy.
Yeah.
That whole end fucking bothered me.
But he also already killed Jack Nicholson too. So he's,
he's
unmoored slightly.
That's like line of duty shit, you know?
Yeah, but there's also a little bit more to it because, I mean, I don't think it's just code that he calls him dad.
No, but
you know what I mean?
Nicholson pulls a gun.
Because
Damon doesn't shoot him till Nicholson pulls the gun out.
Yeah, but I'm
which is a big character. Yeah, it's just
it's a big character thing. But I don't think it's not like that. He's like, well, I can just murder whoever now. But like that was a huge thing for him to kill Nicholson, and then it's just like now's my chance to get away from all this. Like I said, like he's built a life for himself, and now that he's got a kid, maybe he doesn't know it's not his. But he's trying to make this all work and all this
sloppy
stuff. And then,
No,
it's not the neatest thing ever. But, I think having that additional, like, I'm an informer too, was a little too much, like, much like the rat at the end was just like I get it.
Well, him having the other cop under his, was stupid. But, let's go back to Mark Wahlberg. So Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
Is just a cop this whole movie.
Is just a cop.
So, just a cop puts on hospital booties, gloves, silencer pistol, breaks into Matt Damon's apartment.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not a cop there.
No, but either way, but he was never on anybody's payroll.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, it's vengeance at that point.
Oh, that is dumb.
Yeah.
That is, because the only thing that made that make sense to me was that he was also crooked. He was under Nicholson's payroll, realized that Damon sold out Nicholson. This was revenge for that because he's been a bad guy the whole time. So he's just literally just an asshole. That's his whole character.
Yeah. I mean, like he had no way, not being a cop, he had no way to go like, no, I can tell you it's this guy because I have access to these files. He doesn't have access to these files anymore. He doesn't know what else to do. He's from Boston.
Ugh.
So he should have just beat the shit out of him. But
so bad.
No, they should have left Matt Damon alive and like alone and trapped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
the end of the Shield. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Or something. But it's just, it was just kind of a little bit too neat that like everybody's
dead.
That's
upsetting. Have you seen the original? Did they try to be that tight? It's been too long.
The most I remember is I do know that at least one of the characters dies. I remember also that there were two girlfriends, that they each had their own girlfriend. I don't think they shared one.
Oh, okay.
But it's also an hour shorter than this movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this movie is way too long. All right, so wait, Matt, Marky Mark makes sense. It doesn't, but like, okay, I get that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
No, I guess that, okay, I wish you were wrong.
No, it is, but it's one of those noir things where so often in noir and stuff like that, where it's like, here's this little thing or murder mystery thing or something, or the Twilight Zone, where it's like, here's this one little thing you kind of forgot from the beginning, but turns out he's here and he's mad.
Yeah.
It's just that kind of coming around.
This movie's better than that ending. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's some really, really good movie making here, and some I think it's just the acting makes up for a lot of, because there's some fucking good acting in this.
But I think there's also just like there's some great, like I said, all those sort of like matching montages I think work really well. I think I like a lot of the split diopter shots they do where it's the you see the person in the foreground and the background.
Oh, those were nice. Yeah.
Yeah, just some shit like that like put together really well. There was some stuff that was less good like. It's been too long now. I can't tell you if that is just the time, but like when they're obviously texting, like I'm undercover, but I'm going to text behind this pole. It just seemed really like no one's noticing this.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out, but that's
like when he's in the back seat texting, and or Matt Damon is able to make a cogent text in his own pocket.
I actually thought that was cool because that feels like something a cop would be able to do.
It was cool, but I also like it made me think about like I bet with the T9, the old T9 texting, I bet I could do that.
I could probably do it too. Yeah,
it might read like no fongs instead of no phones, but I think that the idea would be
I think you're right. Yeah, that was a weird scene, too, because Nicholson looks in the rearview mirror pointedly or kind of notices behind him that he's texting, and it just never comes up.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's just sloppy filmmaking. We should get to the end here, but before we get to the rat, which we need to talk about a little bit, what was the deal with him looking at the state courthouse thing, the globe?
He just liked it. I don't know. It's just, I guess, because he was somewhat of a climber that I think that he...
Oh, that's right, because he was trying to be a lawyer, so that's him.
Yeah, I think he was starting to kind of like wanting to get out of this.
I forgot the lawyer subplot.
That he used Jack Nicholson as a way to get to a better life, and then was sort of pulled down by that.
Yeah, I forgot about that whole lawyer thing. So, all right, so the rat comes out in his really nice apartment. And
CG rat, by the way.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Now, again, I don't know if it's the, hey, Boston, you're too dumb to get this.
Yeah.
Everything I've read about it, there's nothing that excuses it or explains it, you know, other than, like, the various obvious metaphor that it is. But it also doesn't make a ton of sense because, like, all that corruption that was certainly there, like, as far as this movie is concerned, ended at the cop level. It's not like, and then there was a senator that was secretly in his pocket. I mean, granted, if he was with the FBI, but that's not the same thing as the state. I don't know. It felt like a very facile metaphor. Like this, just that, like, aren't all politicians fucked up, dude? You know, it's like, yeah, that might be true, but okay.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't seem like the place for it.
So I assume you saw the Kickstarter.
The Kickstarter now, okay. Now that's clearly a bit.
No, but it's funny.
But I love because my favorite bit about that is in the video is like yes.
Oh, wait, tell them what we're talking about.
Well, okay, so as of this recording, there's a Kickstarter going around, a guy trying to raise money to remove the rat that crawls across the balcony at the end of The Departed, and there's people that are like, yeah, absolutely. But I just think it's a funny bit because in his pitch video, he's like, yes, I know Adobe has a 7-day free trial, but I used it up making this video. That is my favorite joke in the entire thing.
That's awesome.
But it's like the rat doesn't make or break this movie. It's stupid. But like what's already been stupid about this movie has kind of been happening. And then you're either on board with it or you're not at this point. And I didn't feel like that the movie was like, I really like this. Oh, that one shot ruined it. It's just – it's an unfortunate shot. It's a very unfortunate choice and I don't understand it.
It's such
but,
a – Yeah, it's oh boy. That's a hard thing for me to get my head around. That as accomplished and talented of a filmmaker as Martin Scorsese is, to do that, that's just it's on the nose. Yeah, it's inexplicably bad.
Which like I want I not that he owes me one, but I want an explanation. If he's just like no, it's for idiots, you know, or you know, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you, but it just seems so. It's like if David Lynch had a thing that was so just obvious, and then he acted like it, you know, like it's Big Ben and it's a metaphor for time. No, it's not.
In the end, they were killed by Twin Peaks.
Yeah, when the two mountains fell on them, I'm not telling you what that's a reference to.
It turns out the coffee was on LSD the whole time. My David Lynch impression that started bad in the first place has turned into the guy for the B-52s. He's become Fred Schneider. Yeah. When you see Twin Peaks by the side of the whale, 15 miles to the Black Lodge. Black Lodge. I want to watch the original of this.
Because, check it out. It's great. Yeah. I remember being very pretty.
Also, there's a weird Buddhist thing I read that's in it, which I think is interesting. Yeah, apparently that's the whole infernal. It's supposed to be like revolve around the Buddhist concept of hells.
I know they made several sequels.
There's at least three. Yeah.
And in fact, when they showed one of the actors, the Departed, one of the actors from the original one, he was like, yeah, it kind of feels like you took all three movies and jammed them together. But it's too long. And you Americaned it up, and that's for you people. Whatever.
Yeah, I the length isn't because boy, this movie was way too long.
I feel like you could knock out so much of the Jack Nicholson shenanigans, get rid of or like at least like pare down Vera Farmiga's role simply because like so much of that just it didn't work. Like her whole relationship with Leonardo DiCaprio just never read for me. It just felt like she's trying to escape from her shitty Matt Damon thing, but just it was so convenient that it was that guy, you know. Mm.
And even the shitty Matt Damon thing, from her perspective, wasn't that shitty. So she, it doesn't like really read right, because like we know he's shitty, but
from her perspective,
he's this delightful, charming, handsome man.
Yeah, but he can't bang. Who needs that?
Well, right? I mean, only that one time.
No, because, this is...
Well, no, because she shows him the sonogram, and he doesn't go, wait a second, my dick doesn't work.
Yeah, I feel like it's enough that it's you know, because they probably tried a few times. Because when he has that whole conversation with Alec Baldwin, and Alec Baldwin's like, you're married, that's good for you, because then ladies know that your cock works. He's like, yeah, working overtime.
Yeah, which that is, that was awkward and way too on the nose. Maybe Scorsese is just really on the nose.
But it might be the script, you know. It might just be, you know, that he was like, I just want to make this fun movie. Like how Soderbergh does these, like, straight genre pieces and just to try to mess with them. And maybe Scorsese was like, yeah, I just want to do something fun.
You could be right. So here's Alex's patented review and synopsis. Don't watch this movie. There's better movies. There's worse movies I'd rather watch than this. Like, because this is one of those movies that's a, in quotes, good movie.
Uh-huh.
There's so many better ones. Like, I'd rather watch a genre movie or an actual good movie. This isn't that hinterland where it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I'd rather watch just something stupid or something actually good.
I would still say watch it. I enjoy it enough. I think it has its issues. I would also recommend watching something dumb. I fully recommend that, particularly if it has monsters in it. But it's fine. It's just overly long and whatever. But I feel like we've done a lot worse. And could you do better? Yeah. Did it deserve all the accolades it's got? No, probably not. But I think it's entertaining enough.
Definitely not. Boy, that's not a best picture. All right, well, that was The Departed.
It was.
And I guess we should depart this movie conversation to talk about what we're going to discuss next episode.
Yes, we should.
We go so far as to annihilate the previous conversation.
Man, you had it, and then you...
Hey, John, don't shun my annihilate pun. Hey, guys, you guess what we're doing yet?
Ritual suicide? I hope it's Ritual Suicide.
No, Seppuku Tales come next week. This time we're watching Annihilation.
Annihilation.
The 2018 horror sci-fi adventure drama by Mr. Alex Garland. On IMDb, it tells us that a biologist signs up for a dangerous secret expedition into a mysterious zone where the laws of nature don't apply.
Man, I hate zones that aren't clear.
Also, I'm not saying like that's the worst write-up I've ever heard, but that's... I mean,
it's true.
I guess technically that's what it's
not wrong.
Yes, based on a novel by James Vandermeer.
Boo.
Starring Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Tessa Thompson, etc. And Alex Garland directed...
Ex Machina.
Yeah, another movie I very much liked.
Mm-hmm.
And 28 Days Later, which I haven't watched in forever, but I liked when it came out.
No, he didn't do 28 Days Later. That's Danny Boyle.
Oh, he wrote it.
Oh, he wrote it. That's okay. Cool.
Yeah, I saw it on his Known For. He wrote it.
Nice.
Yeah, Ex Machina, I very much liked. Between that and Her, my weird, you know, pseudo-sentient robot lady boner was very high.
Yeah, we should do Her sometime.
Yeah, that'd be fun, because it's one of those films that makes me not hate Joaquin Phoenix, which is amazing.
See, I had a really negative experience first time I watched it, so I'd be curious to check it out again.
Well, we'll do it at some point. But right now, we're
But not next week.
Not next time. We're watching Annihilation.
Annihilation.
And it's going to be great, and it's going to be fun. I yelled at you guys last time, but thank you for responding on Facebook. I yelled, you responded, and I very much appreciate it. We actually had a conversation going on the Facebook page. I like that.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's like, hey, look, we're not just screaming into the void. We're screaming into mostly void.
Yeah.
And then forced response.
Yeah.
So Annihilation next week, and that's it. Thank you.
Well, before you read, submit.
Yes. Yes.
What is it you do?
Like, rate, review on whatever pod catching service you do. Just whatever you can do to help us, that'd be great. Like, that's it. Like, because
help us.
Yeah, just help. There's a lot of podcasts out there. Yeah. We would like slightly more people to listen to ours.
Yeah, we'd like to continue doing it. So
yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Next week.